Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, here we go. Jaguars Today on this first of many game days throughout the season. 4:30 for the pregame today, 7:30 kick. Jags, Jets right here on your flagship home for the Jacksonville Jaguars, 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you. Welcome in and good morning. Beef tweeted out a picture, Tony. I got to say, I'm looking more svelte by the moment right now. He just tweeted out a picture of the boys doing a little crosstalk here in the 1010 XL studios, the world headquarters. And I must say, I look good these days, at least better than I did. Will the Jags look good tonight, Tony? The question we're asking, folks, it's not keys to victory. It's not keys to getting a win. I don't care what the final score is, as long as the ones perform well against the ones. But what are the three main things you're watching for tonight? I think there's going to be a lot of overlap. We're going to be watching that left side of the offensive line. We're going to be looking to see if the offense can start quickly. We're going to see if the young players, particularly Dante Fowler Jr., can carry the training camp performances that we've seen into a more heightened scenario tonight against the New York Jets when the other team on the other side doesn't have any goodwill towards you. That's the thing. We see good plays in practice. We always talk about it. Good for one side, and maybe not good for the other. Anything the Jags do well tonight is a bonus. So what are some of the things you'll be looking for as they kick things off at 7:30?
To get it out of the way, injuries, don't want any of those tonight.
That's, most important
that's
thing.
Obviously the prime thing tonight. But I think offensively, when you look at it, they've been preaching that they want to get off to a faster start in these games for a couple months now. And especially once training camp opened up. So I want to see them get off to a fast start offensively. You know, when Blake is out there, I'd like to see points on his first series, and that would be enough for me.
Shut it down.
Of Blake Bortles, whether it be a field goal, touchdown, whatever, points on the first series would be nice. Obviously, the left side of the offensive line is, and really the whole offensive line is going to be something I'm watching. You know, you watch Dante Fowler has really been dominating whoever he's going up against, and tonight you get a better or more clear picture of how good Dante is versus how bad everyone he's going up against is.
Right.
And you get at least a clearer picture of that kind of thing tonight. And I think defensively it's hard not to say all the young guys.
Absolutely. Dante Fowler,
yeah, Dante Fowler leads that list because of the kind of camp he's had and just how much is going to be on his shoulders going into the 2016 season as the guy who's going to be the starting Leo for a team that has had virtually no pass rush for 2 years from that position. They've had Derek Marks created some things for Clemens and Branch a couple years ago, but without him there last year, there was nothing from this team as far as a pass rush, and there's so much pressure on Dante, and he's shown up to this point, so he'll be top of the list for me defensively. And really, the guy I think we're going to see the most out of the young guys is Miles Jack, and I wouldn't be surprised if he got a full 2.5 quarters tonight.
Once Pozlesny's out, yeah. you want us, because this is a great laboratory for him with the mental side of the game to get the defense in the right position with no really downside if he makes a mistake.
And for a guy that, you know, you watch him in training camp for the last couple weeks, it looks like everything's a little slow for him, like he's thinking too much. And I want to see when the lights go on if it becomes a little bit more instinctual for a guy like Miles Jack, where now he's just playing football again. And there may be a lot of responsibility for him, but what does it look like when he's out there playing football? He hasn't done it in a long, long time. He missed most of last season at UCLA because of that knee injury. So he hasn't played any football in a long time, and I imagine he's probably really pumped up about the chance to get out there tonight.
We'll talk plenty of Jags today. In fact, John Osier, senior writer from Jaguars.com, will join us coming up in about 20 minutes. Ryan O'Halloran in about an hour from now from the Florida Times Union. But we'll start with the other side, the New York Jets. Rich Samini covers them for ESPN's NFL Nation group, and he'll check in coming up next on what the Jets hope to accomplish against the Jaguars tonight. Of course, these two teams squared off in the regular season. Jags outplayed them. Jets got the win last year. The win, that's not important tonight. It's the performance of the front line versus the front line. And certainly, it's very important for all these guys, spot 40 on down, who don't have a roster spot secured on this team to try to play their way into the regular season with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's Fat Tony, along with Tyler Devitt. I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today just off and rolling. If you want to weigh in today on the question of the day, what three things are you watching for the most tonight? You know how you can do it. Tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler. You got the text line at 641-1010, driven by Duval Ford. You've got the Facebook page for Jaguars today. And, of course, you got the phone lines, although with a lot of guests today, might be tough to get in. But give it a shot at 641-1010 if you're so inclined. Game day for the Jags, first one of 2016. Coming back, Rich Cimini breaks down the opponent, the New York Jets, next on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Very good. I don't know. He finished with, what, 29 yards on 28 carries. Really good running back. So thought we did an excellent job there against the pass. Brandon Marshall, what, 4 catches, but he had that touchdown. I think when it comes back, when that is short field, we had some critical errors, you know, on a couple third downs right there that led him to points. You know, every group has things they can work on, and that's what we need to work on, as well as turnovers. You know, we got shut out as far as turnovers on defense.
You know, it is interesting. I was Gus Bradley, Tony, last year after the Jaguars fell to the Jets 28-23, and I think that's one of those games where maybe they stole a game or two along the way. That was one that definitely they let get away last year. They played very well. And it is interesting that oftentimes the team will go out and sign a free agent who's hurt them in the past, right? They say, wow, boy, look at that guy. What could we do if we had him on our side? Yet they shut Chris Ivory down in that contest, but they recognized the physical running style was something that they were missing.
Yeah, they did. So they brought him in, and it was a frustrating game last year up there against the Jets because it did feel like, for the majority of the game, the Jags might have been the better team. And Nick Marshall had that punt return with all that space in front of him to get that head start, and it just bounced off his chest, and that was kind of it. But it was one of those games where they probably stole the Baltimore game. The Jets game is one they should have had. So those two kind of balanced each other out.
I suppose they did. But nevertheless, it showed, look, that was a team that was on the cusp of making the playoffs last year. It showed what the Jags were capable of. And I didn't even think they played a particularly great game. What we get tonight is not going to be necessarily indicative of anything,
no,
of how the season plays out. But we'll see how the ones go up against the ones. And let's welcome in Rich Cimini with the ESPN NFL Nation coverage of the New York Jets as he joins us here on 1010XL. Good morning, Rich. Thanks for the time. How are you, man?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You know, I'm sure as you are well aware, the one-year anniversary of the punch heard around the world, or at least the punch heard around the New York Jets locker room as Geno Smith got the jaw broken and Ryan Fitzpatrick ascended to the top. Fitzpatrick coming back just in the last couple weeks, getting his contract done. He's worked with Changeli before. He knows this offense. Do you think it's going to be a seamless transition for the early part of the season for him?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they should actually be better, you know, this year in terms of comfort level because, you know, they've been together a few years. And, you know, Ryan didn't miss the whole offseason with the contract. So I think that put him behind. And, you know, you can see some rust on the practice field. I think his timing with his receivers isn't still where it needs to be. But that's what the preseason's for. He's got plenty of time to get ready. And, you know, I think they have a really smart veteran offense. So I think they'll be pretty decent on offense this year.
Rich, how do you expect them to divide the workload at quarterback tonight? Fitzpatrick, whether or not he plays, Geno Smith, Bryce Petty, giving the Jaguars fans some quote-unquote bulletin board material earlier this week, and obviously the second-round pick, Christian Hackenberg. How do you expect them to split up the duties tonight?
Yeah, a little bit of guesswork here. Todd Bowles did not reveal how he's going to use the quarterbacks. I guess it's a state secret or something, the national security thing. But they haven't really given out any information on that. Fitzpatrick was talking like he was going to start. If he does, I expect him to only play a series or two, not much at all. I think this thing tonight's about the younger quarterbacks. You're going to see a lot of Bryce Petty. You know, he's really the guy who's could be the odd man out. You know, they have 4 quarterbacks right now. The Jets have said that they're open to keeping 4 on the opening day roster. It's cumbersome, obviously, but I think they're open to it. But I think Petty's going to have to prove to them that he's worth keeping. So he'll get a lot of time tonight. I think Geno will get a lot of time. Hackenberg, you know, did not get many reps at all this week in practice. So if that's an indicator, then I'd say he'll probably get in at the very end, if that.
Rich Cimini here with us from ESPN covering the New York Jets. Rich, with the Brickashaw Ferguson retiring, the Jets able to acquire the former Bronco Ryan Clady to play left tackle. How has he looked, and how good is this O-line? Because we're excited down here about the chance to develop a pass rush, but we don't know how good they are until they go up against quality offensive linemen. The Jags haven't had that, at least that they could count on in recent years. So how good is this line, and particularly Clady? How's he looked?
Clady looked really good. You know, he missed all of last year with Denver because of the knee injury. So I thought coming into camp, they would be really, you know, careful with him and, you know, bringing him along slowly. But that has not been the case. He's been out there. He's been taking the vast majority of the reps at left tackle. He even was joking the other day. He said he's getting more reps than he thought he would. So that tells me that that knee is sound and he's ready to go. I think that was a really good pickup for the Jets this offseason when Brick retired. So the Jaguars are going to see a very heady offensive line. You know, it's a savvy group. They're all veterans across the board. And they might not be the most overpowering group, and they're probably, you know, they're up there a little bit in age, but they're not going to make too many mental errors because all of these guys have played a lot. Now, the one weak link is going to be right tackle because their regular right tackle is on the PUP list. That's Brano Giacomini. So they're probably going to start Ben Aijulana tonight. He's a career backup. I don't think he's ever, in fact, I don't think he's ever taken an NFL snap at tackle. So if the Jaguars are going to do anything in their pass rush, that might be the area they should go after.
There are training camp fights all over the place, Rich, and then there are the two most high-profile players on your team getting into a training camp fight, Brandon Marshall and Darrell Revis. That happened last week. Has there been any fallout from that, the talk about the other guys on the team, maybe the coaching staff having to address it when two guys that are that high-profile get into it?
Well, Bowles addressed it that night with the team. And since then, I've been watching them very closely in practice. And those guys, there have been no, you know, there's no lingering spillover into the, you know, ensuing practices. It got blown out of proportion because when things happen in New York, they tend to get blown out of proportion. I saw the whole thing. There was definitely jawing. I mean, they were going at, you know, yelling at each other throughout the practice. And I, watching it, I got the sense you could just feel it escalating. But it really escalated. It became a story, so to speak, when Marshall actually walked over to Revis and said something to him and kind of took a swipe at him. It wasn't a brawl. It wasn't a fight. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't even a punch thrown. It was just sort of a swipe. And then they were separated quickly. And so it was, I think it was a combination of just a heated practice, and competitive guys, a really hot day, you know, tired of the training camp grind, and it definitely added to the intensity level at practice.
ESPN's Rich Cimini here with us on 1010XL. Rich, last year the Jags drafted Dante Fowler Jr. There's some thought maybe they would take Leonard Williams. The Jets ended up taking him. Two questions here. How has Leonard Williams looked? And Muhammad Wilkerson now under contract. Will we see him tonight?
And I think the Jets would have taken Fowler if the Jaguars had taken Williams if Fowler had still been there. The Jets really liked Dante Fowler, and they would have fit him in as a 3-4 outside linebacker. But Leonard had a really solid rookie year. He played the run well. He didn't really give him much in the pass rush, only 3 sacks. But they think there's more there, and I do too. I think Leonard is going to be a really, really good defensive lineman. He's just much more comfortable this year. He's got a bright future, so they're very happy with that pick. Wilkerson, you know, Bowles said the other day that he thinks there is a chance that they may get a play or two for Wilkerson tonight. I don't see it. Mo, you know, for those of your listeners, you know, he broke his leg in the last game last year. He had surgery. He's been coming back. And just this week, he was removed from the PUP list. He hasn't even had a full practice. He did some defensive line drills on Tuesday. You know, so he hasn't even been in any contact drills. I would be really surprised if he played at all.
Rich, before we let you go, I want to ask you about a couple more of the first-round picks on the defensive side of the ball. Darren Lee, how much do you expect him to be on the field tonight, playing that middle linebacker spot drafted in the first round this year? And how much pressure is there on Dee Milner, a first-round pick from a couple years ago that just hasn't been living up to the kind of draft status he had?
Yeah, Darren's going to play a lot, for sure. He's not starting right now. He's working the second team behind Aaron Henderson, but you're going to see him, you know, he'll probably play at least 2 quarters, needs the reps. You know, he's, as advertised, he's just a really fast linebacker. He's small, but I think they're going to use him in a way that maybe, you know, they can get around that. I think once the season comes around, you'll see him mostly in nickel packages, getting a chance to rush the quarterback, also drop into the coverage. They like him a lot. Now, Dee Milliner, I don't know if pressure is the word. I think the pressure was a few years ago when they first drafted him. I don't know. Dee's been so, I think if you ask the average Jets fan, I think he's almost off the radar now because he's probably their fourth corner right now. In fact, he is their fourth corner right now. So for him, I think Jet fans would be happy if he just stayed healthy, made the team, and could come in as a dime back. No one's really expecting him to, you know, push for a starting job. So it's going to be his last year in New York. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option. He's been a guy, it's like every year he's hurt with something else. But so far this year, he's been healthy. And when he's healthy, he's a decent player. I don't think he's ever going to be great, but he's a decent player when he's healthy.
Rich, we'll end with this. The Jags in the offseason signed former Jet now Chris Ivory. And it's interesting because we were just talking about this before you came on. Oftentimes, if a guy has a lot of success against you, you say, wow, we could really add that to our team and how good would we look? Well, the Jags did a pretty good job against Ivory last year. He did score a couple of times, but they held him to 26 yards on 23 carries. He's been a workhorse, for at least in recent years, for the Jets. What kind of season and what kind of player should the Jags expect Chris Ivory to have and be?
In fact, that those numbers you just I think with the Elias Sports Bureau said it was the worst per game yards per carry for any player in NFL history for that many carries. So the Jags obviously did a really good job on him that day. Chris is a good running back. He was the leading rusher. He's just a very physical between the tackles runner. I think he has deceptively good speed to the outside. I think some of your fans will be surprised a little bit by, if he can get to the corner, he has some speed. He's not just a plodding between the tackles guy. You always have to watch the injuries with Chris. Now, I don't know if he's been healthy in training camp. Usually ends up sitting out some training camp with a hamstring or something or other, but that's the deal with him. You know, he'll probably develop something during the season, in which case he may not miss the game, but he might be limited in games. So that's just Chris. He's not a good pass receiver, so that's the one thing you're not going to get from him. They'll be kind of predictable when he's on the field because everybody knows they're not going to throw him the ball. But he's a good back. I thought it was a good signing for them. Obviously, John Itzik being in the front office, the former Jet GM, was the connection. And I'm really curious to see how he does. And I'm looking forward to seeing. Chris was always a good guy. I look forward to seeing him tonight.
Yeah, we're happy to have him down here. And the question is, can this offensive line open up any holes? But tonight will be step one in determining that. That's our problem to worry about. You've got your own setup there. Rich Cimini, ESPN's NFL Nation coverage of the New York Jets, the Jags' opening opponent in the 2016 preseason. Rich, always appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it, buddy. There he goes, Rich Cimini of ESPN. He's been covering the Jets just about forever. Tony. So somebody said on the text line driven by Duval Ford as we were talking about these games, you win one, maybe you shouldn't have, you steal one, you lose one, you thought you outplayed the opponent. He said, sorry, Mike and Tony, these games do not even themselves out because my best friend is a Jets fan and he got bragging rights. I know no one who's a Ravens fan, so I want a do-over and it starts tonight. Hashtag preseason so what. Hashtag see a Jet, kill a Jet. Hashtag payback. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag best damn show on 1010XL.
That's a lot of hashtags.
That's a lot of hashtags, but I had to get to the last one there to really complete the circuit. So thanks for the feedback. Keep them coming at 641-1010. Looking for the things you're looking for tonight. What are you watching for? What do you hope to see from the Jags? It's not keys to victory.
No, and my eyes got kind of wide when Rich Cimini talked about a right tackle who's never taken a snap at that spot, and I was going, ooh, Dante.
Right, all right. I want Dante versus Ryan Clady. Don't you want Dante versus Ryan Clady?
Oh, I do, but I also want to see Dante get a sack.
Oh, absolutely.
And if it means getting it against a guy who's never taken a snap at tackle, I don't care.
I hope he gets three sacks.
Bring it on.
I want two of them to come against Clady. That will make me feel a little bit better about what we're seeing on the practice field translating once the regular season rolls around. Coming up next, talk to the senior writer from Jaguars.com. We get the teal side of the story. John Osher joins us next. It's Jaguars today. Happy game day, everybody, right here on 1010XL on 92.5 FM. How about it? There we go. Thank you. I wasn't sure. I stepped up. Give us one more. One more. I keep talking over it. That's right. It's game day. Johnny O is in the house. Senior writer from Jaguars.com. And by the house, I mean on the program, because he is nowhere near this particular house.
Nope.
Where are you guys staying, Osher, by the way? Are you guys staying in New York or New Jersey?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jersey City,
huh?
Are you in Jersey City?
Jersey City is where you are. What was the night out for Osier like last night?
I just went out with Peak Av and Daisy Candace, the video guys.
Yep.
Went over and got some pizza. And I guess these guys are sort of into these trivia night things. They went. There was this trivia night, which I'm not that's not really my thing. So there was some sort of obscure food trivia going on, which I just completely bombed at.
obscure food trivia. Sounds like a blast.
Yeah, well, were you playing for cash or like bar cash? Because it was bar cash, what are y'all wasting your time for?
Well, it was a deal where if you, I think if you won, which we finished dead last, by the way, but if you won, you got your drink free, which of course for me, Mike, wasn't an issue because I was having water. So I was really just playing with house money.
Nah, he's a professional journalist is who he is, and he's representing the organization when he's on the road. John Osier. All right, John, let's get into tonight's game, Jags and Jets. How long will Blake Bortles play, and will that depend on how successful the Jags offense is on their first drive?
I mean, I don't think they pull him if they have a quick touchdown. My guess is you would see people want an answer in terms of theory. And a lot of times what happens is if you play two series and you get 12, 15 plays out of it, then that's fine. I would think they want to see some enough to get them into a rhythm. So two series, 12 to 14 plays, somewhere in that range. If they go three and out twice, then you might see them come in for another series. They've only gotten six plays. So it'll probably break down more like that rather than, okay, he's been in one series, that's it for us. And it might well be a feel thing. As you said, how they do on their first two series, I would think would depend whether they let's throw him in there for another one.
John, does what's happening with the offensive line, with all the injuries, the moving parts, it doesn't look like Brandon Linder's going to be available tonight. Josh Wells out, so Joko probably playing left tackle, at least while Bortles was on the field, would be my guess. But with all those moving parts on the offensive line, does that affect, you think, the game plan for a guy like Blake Bortles, just not want to expose him too much behind what could be a pretty shoddy offensive line?
Yeah, I would think you try to be smart. I mean, you leave a tight end in to sort of help a little bit, make sure you're not getting hit, get the ball out quick. You know, might see some things like that, but I think that's what they're going to try to do anyway. So I think more than game planning necessarily, it'll be, as you said, I would anticipate them leaving Joko at left tackle while Blake's in, because you want your best guys out there protecting him. I wouldn't think you would, you know, whatever they think their best linemen are, need to be in there when Bortles is playing.
Who do you think they think their best option is at guard if Beecham's not ready at any point, obviously tonight, or even if it carries into the regular season? If Joko's playing left tackle, who is their best option right next to him?
Well, who do they think or who do I think?
Both.
I'm not sure who they think. I think the answer to both is Shatley right now. And that's assuming that Beecham's not available, as you said, so you put Joko out to the left, because all jokes aside, he knows what he's doing out there. He knows how to line up, all that stuff. You don't have to teach him that position. No matter how well you think he's played, he knows how to do that. And then I think Shatley would go in at left and Linder would go in at center. And that's something they think they can get by with. I think that's a better option for him.
John, given it's kind of a similar question on the other side defensively, given the depth they don't seem to have at the Leo spot, how much time do you expect to see out of Dante Fowler Jr. and even Yannick Ngakoue, given how much those guys are going to be dependent upon for pass rush this year?
Well, my first instinct is to say get him in and get him out. To give him a taste of it. At the same time, as good as Fowler has looked in practice, he's never done this at the NFL level. So you maybe err a little bit on the side of getting some experience. If he looks fantastic, then play him for two plays and get him out. You know, if you kind of have your assumptions confirmed about how good he is, then maybe get him out and play him
a series the rest of the preseason, because this might just be one of those guys who, hey, I can wind this top up and just let it go. It's going to be fine. Ngakoue, I think, plays a little more because he's looked explosive in camp, but he's not supposed to look as ready and as dominant as Fowler, and he has. He's had flashes. He's also had things where it's clear he needs to work on to play him a lot more than you would Fowler. But, again, as you said, don't be stupid, because this team is not a team that can afford a lot of injuries at any spot, because no team is. So don't be stupid about the playing time in preseason.
John Osier, senior writer for Jaguars.com, here with us on 1010XL as we get ready for the Jags and the Jets tonight. John, Tony and I think this could be an extended look at Miles Jack tonight. What's the sense you get from talking to Gus Bradley and watching practices in training camp of where they think Miles Jack is in the mental side of the game right now?
Still catching up, and I think that's to be expected. Even if he'd been here the whole time in OTAs, there would still be some catching up. It's a different scenario that Miles Jack is going through than what Ramsey or Fowler is going through. And I'm not saying you don't have to know the scheme to play those two positions, but you certainly don't have to know as much, and you can get by. You put Jalen Ramsey at corner and say, go do this, and it's sort of saying, go do what you've done all your life. The same with Dante Fowler. With Miles Jack, it's, okay, go do what you've done all your life, and then also try to learn the whole defense while you're doing it, and let's see where you can play. So I agree with you guys. He is in a situation where I think you have a chance to play him a lot more. You don't want him injured, but you're also not really depending on starting right now, so it's not absolutely as critical that he – If he were to be injured, you're not losing a starter. And that's not a cavalier thing. It's just, okay, we're in a situation where this second team player has a chance to get some reps, and let's get him up to speed. Out of all the guys we've talked about, he's the guy who can probably benefit the most from reps.
Along the same kind of lines, John, what do you expect the game plan to be with a guy like Jalen Ramsey tonight? I wouldn't be surprised if he's out there with a starting 11 on defense and maybe plays kind of that nickel corner spot, that third corner spot, maybe for the entire first half.
Yeah, I don't know if you – I agree, because of the fact that they're working with two positions. If he was only working one, then I think he would probably have the same rotation as maybe a Fowler. But the fact that he is working two, maybe not the whole first half, three, four series, which might take you pretty close to the end of the first half. So, yeah, let's say the whole first half.
All right, John Osier here with us. Any final thought? I think we've covered a lot of ground here, but
sure.
Anything that we didn't mention that you'll be looking for tonight?
Well, I don't necessarily look at this game and get the stomach all up in a knot over how Blake Bortles looks. That's a huge theme for the whole season, but with such a limited amount of playing time, great if he looks great, but I don't think this is a tragedy for the offense if it still looks sort of like it has in practice, which is sort of stop and start. I think out of this game, what you're looking for, get a little movement on the offensive line running the ball. Let's see how Chris Ivory looks. At least give yourself some hope with that. Get some penetration on defense, meaning are we going to see a pass rush, which we've sort of seen, and then let's see if this defense looks as fast as we think it's going to look. I think those are three things you can see in the preseason that you can be pretty sure about if you see them, that they're real. So that's sort of what I'm looking for.
All right. We'll talk to you on the pregame, JP and I, later on this afternoon. John Osier, Jaguars.com, and follow him on Twitter, simply at John Osier, as you'll want to do that all throughout the course of the game to keep up with all the latest on the Jags and the Jets. John, we appreciate it, man. Safe travels back, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Look forward to it. We'll see you.
All right, buddy. There he goes, John Osier, Jaguars.com. Coming up in about 35 minutes or so, maybe less than that, 25 minutes, Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union will weigh in with his perspective as well. But coming up next, the state in football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you. It's Jaguars Today, game day, preseason style, here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Today. And now, this date in football history.
All right, here we go. What happened on this date? August 11th, historically. Happy 97th birthday or anniversary, however you want to look at it. The Green Bay Packers Football Club was founded on this date in 1919. The 17th annual NFL Chicago All-Star Game was also played on this date some 31 years later. 1950, the Collegiate All-Stars knocked off the Philadelphia Eagles 17-7. That doesn't make Tony too upset about that. He doesn't like anything having to do with the Eagles.
Nope.
The Giants in 1951 beat the Ottawa Rough Riders. Is every team in Canada called the Rough Riders? Does Ottawa still have the Rough Riders?
Yeah.
They do?
Yes.
Okay, there are two Rough Riders, right?
I don't know.
I thought there were two Rough Riders. Anyway, 38-6 in an exhibition in Ottawa back in 1951. Groundbreaking for the NFL Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, took place on this day. The first shovel of dirt was moved in 1962. And the Steelers knocked off the New York Giants 17-13 in an NFL exhibition game in Montreal on this date in 1969. Famous birthdays? I don't know if it qualifies as famous, but on a light day, how about Adam Podlish, former Jaguar punter, fourth-round pick in 2007.
Potter, all right.
He's been out of the league for a couple of years, turns 33 years old today. And Tracy Porter is 30 today. He of the pick
Hoosier.
Six against Peyton Manning in the 2009 Super Bowl, helping the New Orleans Saints to a victory. He's a Hoosier. Proud Hoosier is what he is. Tracy
Porter.
Don't
got many of them in the league. Got to be proud of the ones we have.
30th birthday. He and Jordan Howard will be celebrating later on this afternoon.
That little Shane Wynn touchdown action this afternoon, this evening.
He knows them all. He's got them all, ladies and gentlemen. stay tuned. Well, it's Tony doing the Honda Drive, so this might not be an electric version.
No,
stay tuned for it nonetheless. That was this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
I do my best to provide no electricity. New England opens up their preseason slate against New Orleans tonight. And Tom Brady, who is suspended for the first four games of the regular season, is not expected to play. Jimmy Garoppolo should see more time against the Saints as the Pats prepare to play the first month of the season without Tom Brady. Former NFL wide receiver Andre Rison, who spent about half of the 96 season here in Jacksonville, is expected to turn himself in on a warrant in Michigan that was issued because he has violated his parole and is behind on child support payments. Rison was ordered in 2013 to payments of at least $1,000 a month, but has fallen behind. The Detroit Free Press reporting that he owes $323,000 in child support and has paid just $35,000 of that. In recent years, Rison told the paper, quote, "I'm just tired. Here I am being looked at like a hardcore criminal. I'm trying to do the right thing," end quote. Rison went on to tell the paper for the same story that he used marijuana candy to deal with post-NFL injuries, thus the violation of parole. Rison is saying that $1,000 a month is unreasonable to ask as his only job is as an assistant high school football coach, for which he makes $9,000 a year, and he gets $3,300 a month from the NFL in disability payments. And San Diego Chargers wide receiver Stevie Johnson is reportedly going to miss the entire 2016 season after having to undergo surgery to repair a torn meniscus in his right knee, and that is the Honda Drive around the NFL.
There you go, Honda Drive. This is probably a dumb question. I'm passing along a stupid question, okay, because I think I know the answer to this is no.
Mm-hmm.
Someone on the text line driven by Duval Ford asks, is the game going to be on the 1010XL app as well as the radio? I would think that was a no, right?
No.
Right, you're not allowed to stream games, and the 1010XL app would be considered internet streaming, basically.
My guess is you could hear the first two of the 3 hours on the pregame.
Right, local
and
stuff.
And then the last hour of the postgame. So the call-in hour of the postgame is probably going to be on the app, but anything that is network, I don't think we're allowed to stream.
Who runs things from the 1010XL side? Whoever it is, be prepared for a flood of phone calls. It happens every year, every game since we've had them. Why won't 1010XL carry the Jaguars on the internet? Because we're not allowed to. It's an NFL rule. The only way you can listen to NFL broadcasts on the internet is to buy a package. You can get it at NFL.com. Don't know, Tony, I'm a season ticket holder. I don't know if that's included. I haven't even looked. My season tickets came, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago, and they went straight on the bar. And I have not gotten my teal deals yet. Those are still to come. So I don't know what perks we're getting this year in particular with that. But nevertheless, no to the 1010XL app. Yes to the 1010XL
airwaves. We will be streaming the entire pregame show coverage. So right until kickoff, we'll be streaming.
Until kickoff.
Until kickoff, we'll be streaming according to the management I just checked with the boss
right.
man. He said we are not allowed to. You have to go to NFL Audio Pass to get the coverage.
NFL Audio Pass. Just Google that and find it if you are so inclined to do that. But we will carry the network pregame countdown to kickoff hour.
He said up until kickoff, we'll be streaming.
All right, there you go. You ask and you get the information that you're looking for. Ryan O'Halloran going to come up in about 10 minutes and join us today. Fan feedback question of the day, as we typically do keys to victory on a game day. In the preseason, it's not about victory. It's about progress. And so we're asking you, what are the three main things you'll be watching for tonight when the Jags and the Jets tangle here, Tony? I'll ask you what we've been asking some other Jaguar reporters, and we'll get into it maybe again with Ryan O'Halloran a little bit next segment. But is there a kicker battle going on? Or what? Put it this way, what are the odds that Jason Myers is the opening day kicker? They have to be overwhelmingly in his favor, but I don't think they're 100%.
No, and I don't think they should be, given what we saw out of him last year. I get that he has a big leg. I don't know how much that matters so much in the NFL if you're not going to be consistent making extra points. Those are the points you need to have them be automatic. And last year they clearly weren't with Myers, so I don't think it's 100% that he's going to be the kicker. I think it is very, very likely that Jason Myers is going to wind up being the kicker of the Jacksonville Jaguars. But look, I think the preseason matters. It's how he won the job last year. He has a gigantic leg, and he didn't have all these problems missing kicks last year in the preseason. It really came up when we got into the regular season. So he's got an opportunity to gain back some confidence of some people here over the course of the next 3 or 4 weeks.
If he goes out and misses his first extra point tonight, though, it's going to go in the complete opposite direction,
yep.
And it's going to become a thing with Jason Myers. So, and look, he didn't have the baggage of leading the league and missed extra points last preseason either. So I don't know how kickers block it out. They talk about relief pitchers, kickers, guys like that. You just got to forget the last one. I think it did become a mental hurdle for him last year because he was, for the most part, very accurate on his field goals, you know, and you had extra points where I think a little bit of more pressure came on, and then you had, you know, the chance to kick some game-winning field goals against the Colts. So, you know, he's had his – look, he kicked the game-winner against the Baltimore Ravens. That's great. He's had a mixed bag of opportunities right now, and they do like his talent, his leg talent, as they like to say, but just miss one tonight, and the questions will be asked at a higher volume going forward. Coming up next, Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union, checks in. I don't know if he's in Jersey City or if he stayed in the Big Apple. Knowing O'Halloran, he probably tried to get a Broadway show in last night.
Wouldn't surprise me.
That would be my guess. So we'll do that coming up next. Continue to send us your feedback on the text line at 641-1010 on the three things you'll be most looking for tonight for the Jags against the New York Jets. You can also tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler. Are we going to run Jags Day? I think we should run Jags Day in the final segment of the program.
I agree.
Today. Lauren Brooks has got me fired up for a version of Jags Day coming your way today, as some of the things that they sing about. She's going to be looking for Dante getting sacks today, Jalen running one back today, and Telvin and Miles Jack today. Hey.
Hey.
So that's coming up a little bit later on. I kind of really like that one, though, so we'll get to that. Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union coming up next with Fat Tony and Tyler Devitt. I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars today on game day on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
1010XL.
Did you hear the voice, too? Did you hear it?
1010XL.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
It's more than that. It's perfect.
Jacksonville Sports Radio, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Hey, just a reminder for you, David Garrard back from a summer hiatus. He'll be back in studio with us tomorrow taking a look at the Jags and the Jets. So tune in for that. Hopefully you do every day to Jaguars today from 10 to noon on 1010XL. And if you do, you hear quite frequently Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union, who joins us now from the Big Apple or from New Jersey. Where'd you stay last night, Ryan?
I am at the Newark Airport Hotel that I usually stay at here. Took me 11 hours to get here yesterday, guys.
What happened?
Flight this time yesterday into Newark was canceled. Rebooked on a flight on American to LaGuardia that was supposed to get in at 4:50. That was delayed in Jacksonville by 2.5 hours. So I missed my show last night. And by the time I got from LaGuardia all the way back over to Newark, it was like 8:30.
What were you going to see last night?
Well, the good part is it was Jersey Boys. I had already seen it, but I was taking two friends. So I made sure they had copies of the ticket just in case.
Is the lead in Jersey Boys still the guy who has been there the whole time, the guy who did the movie?
I don't know. I hadn't gotten that far in my research.
Come on, O'Halloran.
I would have thought it would have been a complete turnover, but who knows?
I don't. I love that, man. Jersey Boys is one of my favorite movies. I'm telling you, I own it. I watch it maybe once a month right now. So I'm jealous. I guess I'm not because he didn't get to go. But we knew we could count on you. Osier went out last night drinking water, and we knew we could count on you to actually try to get something done on the road. O'Halloran here with us. Ryan, what are you looking for tonight? Let's just open-ended question. What are the things you hope to see from the Jags?
Well, in today's paper, I listed five players to watch, but as a whole, first thing on offense when the starters are in there is whoever plays on the offensive line, can they protect Blake Bortles for the two series robbery plays? And can they establish some kind of rhythm on offense? It was a pretty sloppy week of practice, despite what people would say. A lot of the defense won their fair share of those 11-on-11 periods. So on offense, it'd be functional with the starters. And on defense, I want to see Miles Jack play. He hasn't flashed during the training camp practices. And I asked a veteran about that Tuesday in the locker room, and this veteran said, hey, he's getting there, but he's probably going to be a better game player at this point because he can run and hit. Right now, he's just running. So that's one guy I'm interested in seeing on defense for sure.
What do you expect the offensive line to look like tonight? With the injury to Josh Wells, it looked like he was probably going to start at left tackle maybe for this game, but he'd play left tackle. They don't have him available now. So Jokel, I would expect to be out there when Blake Bortles at least is on the field. But what does it look like tonight for them as far as the starting five?
Well, that's going to be interesting. I think early in the week, I think they had already made the decision that Josh Wells can't play left tackle when Blake Bortles is on the field in preseason. So you saw that flip a little bit. I think tonight it's going to be Jokel left tackle, Shatley at center, AJ at right guard, Parnell right tackle. Left guard, Chris Reed was at the first teamers there on Tuesday. That would tell me that maybe they're going to give him a little bit of a run there. And then I think when the second teamers come in, I think that's when you'll see Jokel kicked inside.
And if it were the beginning of the regular season and Linder were healthy and Beecham was not healthy, would you see Shatley playing that left guard spot?
I think so. They just because he's gotten so many first-team reps, he should be able to slide over because even though he's playing center, I think this has really helped him overall if he is asked to play guard. So I think it would be Jokel and Shatley, Linder, Kant, and Parnell.
We talked with John Osier in the first hour, and we were talking about how long Blake Bortles will play and some of the frontline guys, and he thinks it's not about the amount of drives maybe, but about the amount of plays. If they have a quick three and out or they even have a quick scoring strike, they might leave him in there a little bit longer. If they're able to take the ball on their first possession and go down, let's say, on an 8 or 9 play drive and stick it in the end zone, is that enough for the coaching staff, in your opinion?
Well, it should be because you got everything accomplished. You figure, okay, do they want him to play 12 to 13, 14 plays? Well, if you march down the field on an 8 or 9 play drive, cut your losses. You got something accomplished. That being said, they usually have a different opinion than I do. So if they go down and score on the first drive or have a long possession, I'm sure they'll try and put him back out there for one more drive.
Me personally, I don't need to see Allen Robinson tonight at all, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's out there, for the first series or whatever with Blake Bortles. Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, even to some degree Julius Thomas, I don't really need to see those guys. What about the availability of the guys beyond that? Do you get a sense that Marquise Lee's probably going to be held out tonight?
I don't know if I have a sense because they made the decision not to release those names until tonight. Usually they give that to us the day before. I would be surprised if Marquise played just because they held him out of practice on Tuesday. And do they feel confident that he can play then? Because when he gets in there, he's going to need to play a lot to prove a lot. So if I'm in, maybe you give him an extra week because really he's only had one practice full and really there weren't a lot of reps there. So I think they should be precautious with Lee. Those other guys you mentioned, Tony, I'd put him out there to break up a sweat, get him out of there.
Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union, here with us on Jaguars Today. Ryan, we think we know what Allen Hurns is capable of, but we've heard a lot of great buzz about Allen Robinson in this training camp, how he looks dominant, how he's really building off of last year. Haven't heard much about Allen Hurns. How has he looked to you? Is it just status quo, or is he, exceeding expectations, not living up to them? I know it's only a couple of weeks, but what have you seen out of him?
Just an interesting point, Mike, because you're right in that he hasn't, like, jumped off the page when you're charting practice. But, you know, he has earned so much trust from this coaching staff. Is if you counted the reps, I'd be interested to see how many he's actually taken in 11-on-11. You know, he's getting his work in, but it's almost like, okay, this is a guy we know is going to be ready week one, so let's just take a look at some other guys. But when he's out there, he's had great battles with Mukamara. He's had an advantage on Ramsey a couple times. So when he's in there, he's getting his work.
Ryan, we all know at the running back position that Ivory and Yeldon are both going to be featured in this offense somehow. So I'm not really curious even about what they're going to look like, especially a guy like Ivory, who's gets better as a game goes. You're not going to see him in the second half of tonight's game. So who knows how much you learn about him. But I think the third and fourth running back spots on this roster are really interesting as far as who they're going to keep, what they're looking at there. Jonas Gray, not sure if he's going to be available to play tonight. But I think it's a big night for guys like Corey Grant and Denard Robinson to start making a statement as to why they belong on this roster.
Huge, huge month for those guys. You know, Yeldon didn't play at all last preseason. He stepped right in. So, like, running back is that one position where you're like, give him, like, two or three carries a week and then put him on the sidelines. Jonas Gray not playing tonight with a quad. He ruled himself out on Tuesday. He's killing his chances because I thought he was flashing a little bit when the pads were on, and I would have kept him over Denard, but that opens the door for Denard to stay. The Corey Grant thing is interesting is, from the Jaguars' perspective, if they keep him, it's for a very specific set of situations and plays. So do you see them working with that during these preseason games? Like, is he a third down guy? Is he a gadget guy? So, or do they just say, okay, you're going to run our base plays and see if you can make the team that way? So I'm interested to see Denard and Corey, especially tonight.
Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union, for a few more minutes, taking a look at the Jags-Jets upcoming preseason game tonight, which you'll hear on 1010XL, pregame underway at 4:30. Ryan, defensively, similar question to what I asked you about Allen Hurns. Malik Jackson signed the big contract, one of the most sought-after free agents. Some people ranked him as the top free agent on the market this offseason. And while we've heard raves about guys like Dante Fowler at times, Jalen Ramsey, some of the other newcomers, it's been a little quieter with Malik Jackson, at least from my perspective. Maybe you're seeing things out there. I'm not expecting him to have five sacks every practice, but what have you seen from Malik?
I thought he's been good. He's about 500 in the one-on-one pass rush drills, but a defensive tackle in these practices isn't going to jump off the page because he's sort of, you know, in a closet a little bit.
Right.
Whereas the defensive ends, you can see them running around the corner. So, what's impressive about Jackson is he listened to their suggestion. Okay, hey, we need, you know, get a little leaner and see how he reacts to it, and he feels like he's moving better. He worked out with Mercedes Lewis during the summer break, so I think they feel like Jackson is trending in the right direction.
Ron, I'll ask you the same question that I asked John Osher here a little bit earlier today. Dante Fowler Jr., Yannick Ngakoue, both guys have stood out in training camp to this point. Dante maybe has stood out more than anybody else in a Jaguars uniform to this point. How much do you limit the time that they're on the field tonight, just given how important they are for this team as far as that Leo position with not a whole heck of a lot behind them?
Yeah, I mean, during probably mid to late June, I talked to Todd Walsh about Fowler, and I said, well, what's your plan with this guy? He's like, he needs to play football. And he hasn't played in a game since, what, January of 2015 in that bowl game. So he may, I mean, I wonder if the last couple weeks have changed their mind on that. Okay, do you just give him a little bit of work to let him get acclimated and get him ready for week one? Or do you give him maybe 15, 17 plays that say, hey, you haven't played in a while, you need to get up, you need this kind of experience? In terms of Ngakoue, we'll get, maybe he plays a little bit more than the starters because he may need some reps, but I'd be interested to see how they handle Fowler this month.
Tony and I want to see Miles Jack get an extended look, and we think he will tonight, and this is going to be a great opportunity for him. Other than Miles Jack, give us a guy or two who's not one of the frontline players, maybe not one of the starters that you're most looking forward to seeing on defense.
Non-starters, I mean, and with the cornerback spot, is Nick Marshall, to me, hasn't done anything in camp, but they love him. Well, at some point, he has to make a play. So you know, if he's in there, can he actually show he's been improved at corner? So that's one guy. Michael Bennett is a defensive tackle they like. He didn't get a lot of run last year because of injury, and they had other guys in front of him. Can he make some impact plays and earn a spot in that rotation? And then the last guy is Peyton Thompson, the converted free safety from corner. Can he settle that backup spot? And also, do they move him and play the slot a little bit to add some versatility to his game?
At the other safety spot, Cyprian, it seems like right now is the starter at strong safety by a pretty wide margin. How much would James Sample have to do to close that gap between the two of them during the next four games?
Well, I think Cyprian would have to like open that door by really struggling, because it really started in the OTAs where Cyprian ascended. Sample not just didn't keep up, he descended. So that was a wide, wide margin when camp started. And you know, even if they've been even through camp, James still has a long way to go. But I think the only way Sample would start week one is because of injury.
We'll close on the kickers. Ryan, we've talked about them at various times throughout training camp. But if Jason Myers misses some preseason extra points, is the door going to be legitimately open for Sam Ficken?
I think that's the only way it would be. Myers hasn't had a great camp. If he comes out tonight, I would assume he gets the first shot, maybe the whole game to kick. If he comes out and misses a makeable field goal or shanks an extra point, that means the door will be open. And if you're the Jags, there's a reason you signed Ficken, is you thought he could maybe have a chance to make the team. So that would really spice things up, because right now I don't think it's a competition until Myers makes it one.
How, when you say he's not having a good camp, how's that? Obviously, his accuracy is the thing we're looking at here. How is
it
manageable? Yeah, just too many misses.
Yeah, the other guy's not missing. Ficken's only misses from 63 yards, and he clanked the upright halfway up.
Wow,
the distance is not a problem. Myers missed one, at least one in the scrimmage. Another practice, he missed two. Another practice, he missed one. So, you know, if you look at the statistics from practice, and if this was like an even thing starting camp and you look at the stats now, it would be a runaway for Ficken.
How about that? Well, we'll find out if it tightens up over the course of the next 4 weeks or so. Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union on Twitter. You can follow him throughout the game tonight, simply at Ryan O'Halloran, and you get him here frequently as a member of the Jaguars Today crew as well. Ryan, enjoy the game tonight. Safe travels back, buddy.
All right, thanks, fellas.
All right, there he goes. There you go, little Jersey boys for you.
Right there.
I knew where you were going with that. Very nice. Good choice by O'Halloran. We knew we could count on him. He doesn't seem like the gregarious go-out type, but he is.
He kind of is, and I'm a little disappointed that it wasn't trying to go back and see Hamilton again.
Yeah.
As well-loved as that play was.
It was. It was. But I tell you what, I love me some Jersey boys. I haven't seen it on the stage, but I would like to. All right, that does it for Ryan O'Halloran. Coming back, take a look at some things to watch for tonight from your perspective, the fan feedback spotlight asking you top three things you're hoping to see out of the Jacksonville Jaguars tonight. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Tyler Devitt. Maybe it's the three of us. Who knows? It's Jaguars Today game day on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods. Dandy sandwiches and subs, yes, they're that. They're also breakfast sliders, they're sandwich wraps, they're quality ingredients, they're great food on the go. Whenever you're hungry, wholesome food, great ingredients, freshly made, quality, and at a price that you could absolutely afford. It's a great formula Dandy has. It's really not a big secret. If you do things well, your customers are going to continue to come back and reward you just like you reward them. For over 60 years, Dandy's been in business. A local family, the Thompsons, created the company with both the Dandy and Anytime Deli lines. You can't go wrong. Pop into your local Circle K or Kangaroo Express. Head straight to the fresh case. Don't waste your time, whether it's lunchtime or any other valuable time, sitting in a drive-through line waiting to get some warmed-over food. No, Dandy does it the right way. Hot and cold options for you. Breakfast, lunch, or anytime you're hungry, on the go, make it a Dandy. I tell you, always go out and make yours a Dandy. Do it today.
Garbage!
You didn't even
garbage! Garbage!
Garbage!
Garbage!
Garbage!
half, too.
Yeah, Tebow, I want you in the second half, believe it or not, was not chanted here, Tony.
No.
It was not chanted in the Baltimore Orioles' Camden Yards, because he's now a baseball player. It was chanted on the day of the butt fumble, November 22nd, 2012, as Tim Tebow was the personal punt protector for the New York Jets.
Yes.
And they were not happy with Mark Sanchez, it sounds like.
They were not happy.
I gather they think he wasn't playing well on that particular day.
It was one of the great moments in NFL history, the butt fumble.
That is what you call a raucous fan base who's not going to be satisfied with the crap that Mark Sanchez put out there on a semi-regular basis.
No, like when you heard the most anger there, that was when Sexy Rexy was walking in.
Yes.
He got the most vitriol, and Sanchez came like with his head down, all drooped, right? And Tebow comes jogging by. Like,
we want you in the second half!
Just being Tim.
Hey, that's 45-ish years of mostly frustration boiling out of every pore of Jet fans' bodies. So there you have it. Maybe we'll hear that tonight. I don't know. You know, it's not beyond them to go crazy in the preseason, but
I guess not. But
that's the environment that the Jags may be playing in tonight. And as they do, Tony, we got a lot of things to watch for. You and I talked about some of them. I think we're both very interested to see an extended look at Miles Jack.
No doubt.
Dante Fowler Jr. is a very obvious one. He has looked phenomenal up to this point. Allen Robinson has looked phenomenal up to this point. You always want to see Blake Bortles. You want to see, I think, more in general, the offense starting quickly, as they've talked about. Not have one of those, you know, if they go three and out, just kind of a damper on things. So look, it's the first preseason game. So nothing that happens here, good or bad, has to dictate what you do in the 2016 season. But that being said, you want to get a little bit of momentum going for yourself.
If they're
going
to be out on the field, you want to see them be
successful.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the bottom line. And again, that doesn't mean that's going to translate directly to what's going to happen against Green Bay on September 11th. But if they're talking about and if the team, the quarterback, the head coach, and the offensive coordinator basically want to stress every time that a microphone opens up that they need to start faster, then start faster. And that starts with the preseason games, too. And when Blake is on the field, they need to be better early on in games. So that starts tonight against the New York Jets with whatever limited opportunities he's going to have.
By the way, speaking of starting fast, not in the sense of a game, but in the sense of a season, I sat down with Pete Prisco earlier today for a conversation for Countdown to Kickoff, which will air about 45 minutes or so before kickoff of tonight's game. And he has gone through, I'm not going to spoil everything, all of Pete's opinions, but he has gone through the schedule game by game to predict how it will play out. And that's really the way to do it. You don't want to end up with a lopsided thing. You got everybody winning 10 games, whatever. But he's gone through every game. And not only does he pick the Jags to win the division, as he's talked about before, he thinks they can get it done at 9-7. And among those nine wins include a victory over the Green Bay Packers.
That'd be sweet.
To open the season would be sweet. It'd be a great tone setter tonight. What are people looking for to set the tone for the Jaguars in their first preseason game? Let's go to Twitter and find out what they said. What are you most watching for? The top three things you'll be watching for tonight.
From Duval Doom, I need a holy crap, the Bortles locked and loaded commercial just came on my TV and I lost my train of thought. So we lost Duval Doom. I don't know if we ever got him back. From Will, how many interceptions, pick sixes, and injuries? Hashtag positivity. From Jarrell, the rookies, the left tackle and guard positions, and turnovers tonight. From Teal Rising, number one, fast start. Number two, offensive line. And three, if Fowler can make non-Jags look just as silly, goes without saying, please God, no injuries. From a Viper driver, Ramsey, number one, pressure on the quarterback, two, and the protection of the quarterback, three. Let the fun begin, fellas. From Ocho Fisho, one, don't want to see Bortles take a hit, two, see if the offensive line can do anything, and three, no injuries to key guys. From Lauren, you mentioned hers earlier, number one, Dante going to get sacks today, number two, Jalen running one back today, and three, Telvin and Miles Jack today.
Hey.
From Jose, number one, 56 and 91 get sacks. That would be Dante and Yannick Ngakoue. Two, number 20 gets an interception. That would be Jalen Ramsey. And three, O-line to not allow sacks. Most of all, football. Hashtag Jaguars rising. And from JagFan, if the O-line is gelling, how Derek Marks is moving, and how Miles Jack runs the defense. The Marks one is interesting. I heard Jeff Loggeman during the scrimmage last Friday night actually said that he thinks that Mark's place on the roster could be in trouble based on he just hasn't looked real great to this point in training camp, and they got a lot of bodies on that defensive line.
They do have a lot of bodies. I don't know if as many of those bodies have the kind of potential that Cindric Marks brings to the table. And you're not counting on him to play the kind of snaps that you were 2 years ago now that Malik Jackson's in town. It'll be one to watch, though. Sen's a fan favorite. And when he's on his game, as we know, he was the MVP of this team 2 years ago, what he's capable of. Anything else there?
That's it.
All right. On Twitter, somehow I'm in preseason mode on Facebook, and I double posted. So I'll give you a sampling of what we got on Facebook. Garrett went with Fowler against a real opponent, offense's ability to strike quickly, and defense's ability to get off the field on third down in particular. Dalton said, watching players get off the ground, I assume that means get up when you get knocked down, don't be injured. Dante Fowler Jr. and Miles Jack. Had another question on how could I stream the game and not get a virus? What did we say? What's it called? NFL
Audio Pass.
NFL Audio Pass. That's for Lee out there. Just Google that, but you got to buy it. Is there a way to stream the game? Otherwise, I don't know. Honestly, I haven't watched I haven't watched a live sporting event stream. Oh, because trust me, there's plenty of bootlegs out there. I can't speak for how many viruses you'll get. If you want to watch popular television,
it's not worth
movie,
it for a preseason game.
No. If you're a hardcore Jags fan, you don't know. Maybe just buy yourself a cheap laptop and hope for the best. I don't know what to tell you. Let's see. Blake not getting hit. The Fowler watch, man-on-man coverage. That's from David, Miles Jack, Ramsey. See how he does against Decker and or Marshall. And the O-line left tackle spot. Eric just went with number one, please. Number two, no. And number three, injuries, certainly the most important thing, but I'm not going to watch for no injuries tonight. I want to see more proactive things happening. Can the O-line hold up in the passing game and open up running lanes? Can the D-line maintain consistent pressure on the quarterback? Will the secondary play translate from the practice field to in-game success? That's Ronald Davis breaking it down for you. So, look, there are a bunch of things we can look for tonight. You have so many new players. You're going to see some of them maybe for a series, maybe a couple of series, maybe a quarter. You're going to see others with an extended look tonight. And, you know, we can talk all you like when you get in the second half, you're playing against future guys who will be bagging groceries in a month or whatever. It's the only opportunity today you have to impress the coaching staff and to put something on film. So I want to see highly thought of Jaguars dominate in those kind of circumstances, right? As much as it's more important to see the ones have success against the ones, Tony, I don't want to see the twos getting pushed around either, because the quality of the twos on this team is supposed to be the best it's been in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's still preseason football. And so at some point, it's going to look really rough. That's just the way that preseason football is when you got, you know, 90 guys on a roster and a lot of them get playing time, especially week one and last week of the preseason. So it'll get really sloppy in the second half of tonight's game. What you're hoping for is, look, they've made all these additions. You expect the roster to be better. Let it show up tonight. They need to look better tonight than they have in previous preseasons. And so tonight's that first kind of step. I don't know how much we'll see of guys like Malik Jackson. I don't know how much you need to see out of guys like Malik Jackson tonight. I don't know how much you're going to see out of Tashawn Gibson in tonight's game, to be honest. But those are key important factors for this football team going forward. We haven't talked a ton about either one of those guys today, and it's just they're not going to be exposed as much tonight, and plus they're veterans. We know what to expect out of a guy like Malik Jackson and Tashawn Gibson, even if they're being put, especially Jackson, in kind of a new role here in Jacksonville compared to what he was in Denver. We know what they're supposed to look like. There's a lot more intrigue about what does Dante Fowler look like. This is the first time he's going to put on a Jaguars uniform and step under the lights and hit somebody wearing a uniform that isn't his own. It's the first time in his career he's going to get to do that. So there is and should be a lot of excitement about what that's going to look like for Dante Fowler and Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack and some of these other guys this evening.
A couple of things to listen for today on the tailgate show and or countdown to kickoff. Mentioned Pete Prisco will join me in the third hour, the final hour leading up to kickoff. J.P. Shadrick sat down with Jimmy Smith the other day, a couple of days ago, and you'll hear more of his thoughts on going into the pride of the Jaguars plus the 2016 version of the team. Fred Taylor, both in the countdown to kickoff hour, we'll talk with JP, and then he'll join us for the first hour of the post game as well, as he's back for another season of Jaguar broadcasting. We're ready to go, man. Look, you only get 20 of them.
Yep.
And look, you know, it is what it is. It's the preseason. We know all the qualifiers that go into it. But if you're a hardcore Jaguar fan, today's a pretty good day for you, as long as they come out of it mostly injury free. That's going to do it for us today. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to close out with the ladies and Dan Hicken, too. He's singing along with it. It's going to be a Jags day. Let's hope. Thanks to Rich Cimini of ESPN. Thanks to John Ocher from Jaguars.com and Ryan O'Howard of the Florida Times Union. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. That does it for Jaguars today. Go Jags tonight, and get ready for the Midday Chalk coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Stop today, and offense gonna score a lot today. Hey, it's gonna be a Jags day, and all our fans look fly today. Other teams' fans gonna cry today. It's one more victory on the way. Hey, it's gonna be a Jags day.
You guys have a good day. Peace.